two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's 4:30 at KSL. Tim Hughes in for Jeff Kaplan this afternoon. Cloudy in Salt Lake City, raining in some places, and 90 degrees. Our top story. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is calling an Associated Press article about child abuse in Arizona incomplete and oversimplified. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer explains.
The Associated Press reports an Arizona man reported to his bishop that he sexually abused his daughter. The bishop, after using the helpline, a tool for church leaders to receive help when abuse is reported to clergy, did not alert police but encouraged the man and his wife to report it. Clergy are not always required to report on something that was told to them in confidence, even if it's a crime. That's the case in Arizona. Even though the law regarding child sex abuse does require abuse or neglect to be reported to the state in most instances. In other words, clergy are exempt from the disclosure laws. Clergy may withhold reporting if they determine it's reasonable and necessary under church rules to do so. The man who admitted to the abuse was excommunicated in 2013. A statement from the church says the helpline is just one of many safeguards in place for leaders to report abuse. It also said the Associated Press seriously mischaracterized its purpose. Kira Hoffelmeyer, KSL News Radio.
Senate President Stuart Adams says there will be an independent investigation into allegations of sexual harassment against Utah State Senator Gene Davis. The allegations come from a former intern who says he would invade her personal boundaries. House Minority Leader Representative Brian King says he's glad to see the serious response.
What's critical is that there be some identified process by which these kinds of reports are investigated in a way that's meaningful, in a way that honors the individual making the report, because this is a hard thing for people to do, and it takes great courage.
Senator Davis has not returned our request for comment. A police chase that forced a freeway shutdown has ended in Juab County. The Utah Highway Patrol says they tried to stop a car headed northbound on I-15 when the driver fled, clipping a Nephi patrol pickup. The driver got back on I-15 southbound, then northbound again, where a trooper picked up the pursuit. Eventually, they were able to spike the tires and stop the pursuit. Luckily, in this situation, no one was hurt. Our top national story this hour. A Texas jury has ordered conspiracy theorist Alex Jones to pay $49 million in total damages to the parents of a first grader that was killed in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. The final award was handed down about a half an hour ago, and it includes $45.2 million in punitive damages and $4.1 million in compensatory damages. The parents of 6-year-old Jesse Lewis says they were tormented by the InfoWars host's false claims that the worst classroom shooting in U.S. history was a hoax orchestrated by the government to tighten gun laws. Calls to bring WNBA star Brittany Griner home have escalated over the last 24 hours since the Russian courts sentenced her to 9 years in prison on drug possession charges. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says they are continuing efforts to negotiate for Griner's freedom and will continue to push on the U.S. substantial offer. A White House spokesperson reiterated that Griner's release is a top priority for the Biden administration.
This morning, Foreign Minister Lavrov said publicly that they are prepared to engage through the channels we have established at the president's direction. As Secretary Blinken said this morning, as I just mentioned, we will continue to pursue those.
There is talk of a U.S.-Russian prisoner swap. As many as 10 people are dead in an early morning house fire in Pennsylvania. Police have that three are confirmed dead, with others unaccounted for. Volunteer firefighter Harold Baker responded and says the victims include his relatives who were visiting an aunt and uncle who lived in the house.
When we came pulled up, the whole place was fully involved. We tried to get into them. There wasn't no way we could get into them.
A criminal investigation is now underway. A third person has died after lightning struck close to the White House last night. D.C. police confirmed earlier today that four people were nearby and taken to the hospital. Two died at the scene. Other two were in the hospital in critical condition, but one has now passed away. There's an increased chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon along the Wasatch Front. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe looks ahead.
The National Weather Service has been warning for days of flash flooding risks in southern and central Utah, but today that warning also includes northern Utah and the Wasatch Front. Meteorologists warn there could be strong wind gusts as well and suggest keeping an eye on the sky if you're planning any time outside.
There's also a chance, you heard Kevin Eubanks say just a moment ago, a chance those thunderstorms will be sticking around for most of the day tomorrow. There are big changes coming to public transit schedules starting on Sunday. UTA is making some minor adjustments to the commuter rail, light rail, and bus schedules across the board, but they're also making some large-scale changes to bus routes. Before you start your commute on Monday, you'll want to be sure to check that your route has not changed.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.